Something in here we need to see, we need to hear, and we're going to go through it real quick, and we're going to get through and let the small groups have their time. But one of the things I see, and I, just give me 15 minutes, man, that's all I need, 15 minutes of your attention. I know that's hard sometimes. It's hard for me to give. But one of the things that we have to be careful for, these girls have to be careful of. You know, the Bible says, if you think you stand firm, take heed lest you fall. Listen, there's real danger, real potential, real possibility of falling back. How do I know? Because I've seen hundreds of people over the last 10 years fall back that have come through and had this same story. But then they fall back and they go back out. And they do that thing, and they end up, according to the Bible, a lot of times worse shape than they were when they first came in. That's a principle that's in the Bible. You know, coming in and get the house clean, swept, and in order, and then the evil spirits that left come back, and they found it clean but empty. And that's the danger, is having a clean, empty house. And we need to fill the house that we emptied with the things of God, with the Word of God, with the ways of God, with godly fellowship, with godly friends, with everything that has to do with God. Church things, church activities, man, just surrounding ourselves with people of God, with the things of God, with the ways of God. And if you don't, and if I don't, even to me today, if I let my guard down and I go where I'm not supposed to go, there is a great potential of this man falling. And I know that because I've done it before. And I don't ever want to do it again. And we all need to recognize that that's a possibility for us. Now, we don't have to. God's big enough to hold us. He's big enough to keep us. But if we're not careful, if we're not diligent, if we're not steadfast toward God, and we're going to look at a man who let his guard down, who slipped, who didn't do what he was supposed to do, be where he was supposed to be, and it ended up costing him dearly. Now, can anybody relate to that? Amen. All right, if you'd turn with me to 2 Samuel 11. And this happened to a man that God describes, a man after his own heart. His name was King David. And we've all heard about King David. And a couple of weeks ago, I preached about King Saul. And King Saul made a few mess ups. Matter of fact, he made a lot of mess ups. But there's a big difference in Saul and David. And we're going to look at that here in just a minute. So the thing I want you to understand, listen to me. It's not bad. It's not devastating to mess up, but it's devastating to mess up and not repent, not be broken about it, and not get things right. That's when it becomes devastating. But we're going to look at 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. And the Bible says it happened in the spring of the year at the time when kings go out to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. And man, this Bible, this Word of God is so precious. And every word means something. Every word has meaning. And I just love the way this one puts it. Yeah. That word, it happened. I mean, I love the way he says it. It just so happened. I mean, it happened to happen this way. In the spring, when kings usually go to war. So when the Bible says that, it means that David should have been at war. David had a place as the king of that country where he should have been that time of period. I mean, that was just the way it should have been. But David was not where he should have been, and he was at a place that he should not have been. And listen to me, Jerusalem was not a bad place to be unless it's not the proper time to be there. And because it wasn't the proper time to be where he was, and also because of his mighty men, because his protection, because his accountability partners, because of his congregation, his flock, you know, all his assembly that he worshiped with, all the rest of the children of God were not there with him. And he was alienated and he was left alone. And he was there by himself in a bad place. And listen to me, a lot of people make a mistake of going to the wrong place. Let me put that down. A lot of people make a mistake of not being at the right place. Listen, what do I mean by that? Listen, if you've got problems with alcohol or drugs, you don't need to be in a bar. I mean, that's just the way it is. And if you think you need to go to that bar, then you're going to suffer the consequences of what's going to happen at that bar. If you got a problem with pills, man, you don't need to be around people with problems with pills. And if you choose to do that, you're putting yourself in a position to fall every time. Hands down, it will happen. Just a matter of time. It's going to happen. If you've got a problem, there's so many different things. The list could go on and on and on. And I think you understand what I'm trying to say. I see a lot of people who come in the group and they want to do good. I really believe they got a sincere heart. They'll come to group on Friday night, and then on Saturday night, they'll go out to have a good time, man. You know, and they'll go to the bar, the honky-tonk. And the Bible's very plain. You cannot partake of the cup of demons and the cup of God. You just can't do both of them, man. And listen, like I said earlier, you might can play around with it, and God may grace you with grace to get around with it for a while. I mean, He's a very gracious, loving God, slow to anger, man. Merciful. Man, is He merciful? And I thank God for that mercy. I've used it. I believe I've used up my mercy. I believe, every time I pushed it, I would think, oh man, I hope I hadn't gone too far. But there comes a time, like I said earlier, when we got to make a choice one way or the other. And I believe David put himself in a bad position because he alienated himself away from the people of God. He alienated himself away from the people that could encourage him in a godly way, could help him in a godly way. Listen to me, man, you need to find a church, and you need to get in that church. I know churches aren't perfect, and all the people in the church you find will not be perfect. Some of them are going to be hypocrites. Some of them are going to be fakes and phonies. And some of them you don't need to hang around in the church. There's a lot of people in the church you need to look at and say, I don't want to be like that person, and I'm not hanging around with them. But if you find the right church, you will find some godly men and women that you can hook up with and become friends with and bond with and help you, and you help them if you choose to do that. And that's very important, very important. You need to get in the church, man. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Listen, if you want to do good. If you want to be godly. If you want to be a man or woman of God, that's what you need to do. And if you don't want to do that, then you don't need to get in church. I mean, it's that simple, right? Is that true? Listen, I'm a church pusher. You know, I really am. I love going to church. And we need to be in church. That's the house of God. And like I say, I know everybody's not perfect in there. And the church itself is not what it's about. It's about fellowship. It's about accountability. It's about being with other people of like mind. You know what I'm saying? I hope you do. So David did not do that, man. He didn't go out with his people. But I want to tell you something else, the reason that he should have been out on that battlefield. Because over just a little bit, it says that the Ark of the Covenant was out there on that battlefield. The Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant represented something. It represented the very presence of God. And not only did it represent the presence of God, the presence of God was with that ark. And so when David watched that ark go out to that battlefield, and he made a choice to stay behind in Jerusalem when kings usually go to war, when all the other priests and all the other leaders and all the other folks in the congregation had went out to that battlefield, he watched them carry that Ark of the Covenant out there. And when they carried the Ark of the Covenant, they were carrying the very presence of God out there in that battlefield. And David should have had enough spiritual intuitiveness to realize that he needed to be wherever the presence of God was. And we need to be the same place. We need to find out where God's presence is and just stay right there. I didn't write it down, but it says, in your presence, O Lord, are joys forevermore. In your presence. But apart from the presence of God, there is no joy. There is no peace. Man, there is no calm. There's nothing apart from the presence of God. Matter of fact, in the world, it says in Genesis, before God moved over the face of the earth, it said that the earth was void and without form, and it was chaotic. And you know, I thought about that, and that's the way lives are without the presence of God in it. They're void. They're empty. And that's why people drink and do drugs and totally obliterate themselves. I can never say that word right unless I'm at home. Yeah. That's why they bombard their body with chemicals. Some people to a point that they're not even functioning properly. And some of them don't even realize they're not functioning. Why? Because their life is void and without form. And why is that? Because God gives life. That's what gives life to man. Man was created, and the Bible says that God breathed the breath of life into him, and that man became a living soul. So we need God, and we need to be where God wants us to be. But then in verse 2, I want you to hear what it says. But David remained at Jerusalem. Here it goes again. Then it happened. It just so happened to happen. One evening that David arose from his bed, and he walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. You know what, man? I thought a lot about this today. And matter of fact, me and Stephanie, when we were in Israel, we were right there around the old city. And we were standing up on a roof of a house. We were standing up, well, we don't think we were on a roof. We were up on this little pedestal, but I mean right below us was the roof of a house. And people came out on the roof. There was a barbecue grill out there. There was all kinds of stuff out there on that roof. And she reminded me of this story and said, remember when King David was on the roof of the house and he looked down? And I thought about that. Now, the thing about it is, do you think he'd ever been on that roof before? I bet he had. I bet he'd been on that roof many times. And I bet he knew that this lady lived over there where she lived. And so I'm not trying to throw things into the Bible, but it's very possible that he had an ulterior motive for not going out to the other folks when they went out to battle. That he had a reason that he stayed behind. He was scoping things out and setting himself up so that he could, you know, maybe see this woman once again. We don't know. But the biggest thing I want you to understand in this is that he had a choice to make at this point. He saw the woman. She was beautiful. He liked her. And you know what? Sin is creeping in. Sin slowly. And you know what? Matter of fact, it says in Genesis that sin is crouching at your door, just sitting there hiding, waiting to jump out and pounce on us. And David was in a precarious, dangerous position right now. Man, all the other folks was gone. He was where he shouldn't be at the time. He shouldn't be there. He should have been on the battlefield in the presence of God with all the other people of God. And yes, he's alienated up on the roof in the evening looking down on a pretty woman. And the Bible goes on to say, so David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers and took her. And she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. Do you see how sin takes advantage of a situation? I mean, just being in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. And all of a sudden, you're confronted, you're alienated, and sin's knocking at, crouching, looking, waiting to pounce. And all of a sudden, he's in a position, man, that he's about to let his guard down. And he does let his guard down. Man, can you imagine? This is a mighty man of God, a king anointed by God that's doing this ungodly thing. Well, you know what? He might have got away with it. But the Bible says in Numbers 32, verse 23, it says, and be sure that your sin will find you out. Because I want you to hear what happens. And the woman conceived. So she sent and told David and said, I am with child. She got pregnant, man. He wasn't expecting that, right? But then, just for sake of time, I'm going to go on a little bit. Then what happened is she got pregnant. And so her husband was out on the battlefield. So David called her husband in. And he said, I want you to go home. And I want you to have a couple of days with your wife, trying to let him go home and be with her. The husband was so loyal to David and so loyal to God that he refused to do it. So David had to resort to drastic measures. You know, desperate people do desperate things. So David conspired to have this woman's husband murdered. I mean, can you believe a man of God would do that? Sin is crouching at the door. Wrong place, Wrong people, wrong time. That's all it took for the devil to take hold of the opportunity. So here we have a man who first was just not in the right place, but now he saw a woman and he acted on it, and now he's committed adultery, and now adulteries went to murder, because he eventually had her husband murdered in a roundabout way. Do you see how sin's going to creep into your life if you let it? Listen, sin is a dangerous, dangerous thing for anybody who wants to be anything with God. Sin is a destroyer. It's going to kill. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And David suffered that death. His family suffered that death. Consequences of sin are more than you want to pay, more than I want to pay. James 1, chapter 1, verse 14 says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brethren." Do not be deceived about sin. Listen, man, I want to see you learn to walk with God. I want to walk with God. But we cannot walk with God with sin. Certainly not unconfessed sin. Like I said, God's gracious, man. He's loving. He's merciful, man. And he's going to give us plenty of opportunity. Sin is going to cost you in your relationship to God in one way or the other. So if a godly life is what you want, if a godly walk is what you want, if you desire to walk with God and to be a man of God, to be a woman of God, to have God on your side, if you desire all these things, then you got to take sin seriously, and you got to understand we can't be deceived any longer. See, that's what I said earlier when we've cheapened salvation and made it cheap grace, because we believe now that because of the blood of Jesus that we can get away with sin. We believe now that we don't have to get sin out of our lives, that we can live any way we want to, and all we have to do is go to God and ask forgiveness, and He'll forgive us of our sins. And you know what? That's true to a certain degree. He'll forgive us of our sins, but we still have to answer to our sins. We still have to bear the consequences of our sins. And what does the Bible say? Sin, when it is full grown, when it's not dealt with, when it's not confessed, when it's allowed to stay in, any sin, it doesn't matter what it is, from the highest to the least. I mean, from the grossest sin that you could possibly come up with to the little pet sins that we hold on to. It doesn't matter. Sin, sin. And when it's allowed to stay in our life, when it's allowed to hang around, when it's allowed to grow, the end result of that sin is going to be death. And it may not be a physical death, although it could be a physical death, but it's going to be a death to the life that you've got the potential to have. The death to a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of victory, a life in the unbroken fellowship with God. And listen, that's not worth sacrificing. That's not worth giving up, because that's what we're made for. We're made for that fellowship. That's who we are supposed to be. And when we enter into that life, everything's right. It may be, I didn't say it's perfect, but I said it's right. It's right. So that's one of the things we got to realize, man. Don't be deceived. And I want to read it in the New Living Translation. It says, temptation comes from our desires. You know what? It's not a sin to be tempted. Did you know that? Some people think that just because I'm tempted, that's a sin in itself. And that's not true. Jesus was tempted, yet without sin. Amen? He overcame it. Temptation comes from our desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. And then the Bible says, do not be deceived about this matter. And I believe a lot of people are living a deceived life about this matter. And you know what? I don't know what you think about things like that, but this isn't to tear you down. This is to bring you up. When I say things like this, it's for a reason. It's because I know that God has a plan for your life. And that willful, intentional sin will keep that plan from happening. Willful, intentional, unconfessed sin is going to hurt you, and it's going to hurt me one day or another. Now, David did go to God. Saul didn't go to God, you know. Remember when Saul sinned? He was rebellious about it and laughed about it and blamed everybody else about it. But David was a man after God's own heart. Can you imagine that a man that would commit adultery and that would murder someone could still be called a man after God's own heart? Now, you can't tell me that's not a merciful God. And that gives me hope that I hadn't went too far. But I tell you what he did have, David. He had a heart that hated sin. And when he allowed that sin to overtake him, he immediately went to God and fell down before God and said, God, I've sinned against you and you alone. Please, God, give me back the joy of my salvation. He still had salvation, but he wanted the joy, the peace, all the blessedness of that salvation. And God restored it to him. And you know what? It doesn't matter where you're at. He'll restore it to you as well if you have that kind of heart. And if I have that kind of heart, we've got to deal with sin. Well, Father, we just, God, what a mighty God you are. And Lord, we worship you. Lord, recognizing you. God, I pray that you'd forgive us. Lord, I know that there's a lot of people in here, Lord, that haven't made that choice. God, I pray for mercy, Lord, for patience, for long-suffering. God, more than that, I pray that your mighty divine hand would be wooing them and revealing yourself to them so that they could see the joy that there is in walking with you. Oh, Lord, that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, we worship you and you alone tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And while John Lancaster's coming up, I want to tell you something, man.